You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
After beating Boston by a single point Sunday night, the Pacers took on the Celtics once again Tuesday evening at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It was another back-and-forth game. Jason Tatum helped Boston jump up to an early first quarter lead. They led by one at the half. Tatum finished the night with 27 points on 9 of 17 shooting. He also played a game-high 40 minutes. Pacers, though, were brought back in a third quarter, led by Victor Oladipo and TJ Warren. Oladipo finished the night with 24 points, while Warren put up 15 of his 17 in the third quarter. Pacers at one point had a 17-point third-quarter lead at 88-71, but they saw that lead slowly diminish in the fourth as the Celtics outscored the Pacers 33-17 in the fourth, led by Peyton Pritchard's 10 points and another 20 points from Jaylen Brown as the Pacers fall to the Celtics 116-111. Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always on the coast of this wonderful show. Today's podcast, I'm going to break down the Pacers' loss to the Celtics. And then I'm going to talk about Victor Oladipo and what his return to form means for this team, as he had a very, very nice game, has put up three in his first three games. He did not play Sunday, but in his first three starts, has looked really good and is starting to kind of round into form, and that might be changing the ceiling of this team going forward. But first, I think we should start with the fourth quarter. So the Pacers led by as much as 17 in the third. It had an 11-point lead heading into the fourth, and it seemed like they were kind of going to cruise to a victory, right? So they start the fourth quarter, which I think ended up being a mistake, but with a lineup of TJ Warren, Domantas Sabonis, Justin Holiday, TJ McConnell, and Aaron Holiday. I think Bjorkgren was thinking, okay, I need to play Warren, who had 15 points in the third quarter. He's hot. He'd kind of been, really, the first half of the game, he was really unengaged, at least offensively. He was okay defensively, but really unengaged, and he thought, let's ride Warren, see what he can do. And Warren just looked gassed. I mean, they come out, and they just, Warren looks gassed defensively and offensively. They don't really have it. He takes a couple of long twos here or there. And then, so the Pacers blow this lead. Boston builds it up to about 9 points in the fourth quarter, and then they cut it back down. They actually have a shot at the end of this game, and then they drop a really weird play. So with about 4 minutes left, TJ Warren fouls out, and he's replaced by Doug McDermott. But then to end the game, they go with the starting five minus Warren and add in Justin Holiday. At this point, they run a play similar to the one they ran on Sunday night where they got the bonus ball kind of at the top of the left key. He then handed, this time instead of faking the handoff and rolling to the rim, he gave the ball to Justin Holiday, who basically ran into Malcolm Brogdon. Now, in Holiday's defense, he was being harassed by Jason Tatum, who has got probably, 2 inches and who knows how much more, maybe more than that, probably 4 inches over Justin Holiday and a ton more length. They run into each other, basically turned over the ball, and that's the game right there. Instead of it at 111-109, it becomes 113-109 with under 25 seconds left. It was, you know, in one way, in Holiday defense, it was, he's not supposed to be there, so it was a play drawn up for Warren, which would make sense. But at the same time, him and Brogdon were not on the same page. And I don't know if I would have tried to make that move. I don't know if the move eventually was to go to Vic. I mean, you would think at the way Vic was playing, right? I mean, at the end of that game, it was Vic and Sabonis who were the, well, you could say Brogdon too, but it was really Vic and Sabonis, right? Sabonis scored on a nice play with Brogdon on the pick and roll. And then Vic had two really hard drives to the rim. One he made and one was cleaned up by Sabonis. But I would have gone to Vic because he's, you know, he's the guy in these games. He's the guy who, when he looks like he did tonight, he's the guy you just go with because he just has that ability to either draw the foul or get a good clean look in a way nobody else on the Pacers roster really can at times. Then they drew up this weird play where then they were down five, where Victor Oladipo got the ball and was going to fake the three and throw it to Sabonis to cut it from 115 to 113, I think was the goal. Vic threw it just too hard. I would have probably taken the Vic 3-2. You know, at the same time, I don't think there were bad plays, let's say. You know, obviously the execution was off, and we should give this team a little bit of leeway because they had, 3 weeks of training camp, if that, with a brand new coach. So that, you know, instead of having a month and then 2 weeks of preseason and then, you know, however many games to actually, develop their out-of-bounds timeout plays, they kind of had, a condensed, you know, quick format. And they're running different plays, right? I mean, here's the thing, too, about their out-of-bounds plays is they're totally different than what they were under McMillan. Nate just didn't really have this creativity. And so, I'm willing to cut them slack tonight. I think it was a bad mistake. I mean, they made a similar mistake on Sunday night, right? So the first out-of-bounds play they ran on Sunday night where they were actually leading, they turned over the ball, and then when they were down one, they finally ran a decent play for Sabonis, and he scored. I'm not thinking, I don't know if we should go back to the old, it should just be Oladipo gets the ball on one-on-one, but the out-of-bounds plays are still a little shaky, a little off on the execution, I would say. I don't know. I guess I'll chalk that up to kind of early season woes, but this was a game the Pacers probably should have won, considering Boston really did want to win it. I mean, that's and why I said that Tatum played 40 minutes, and that was way more than anybody else, right? So the Pacers' leading minutes guy was Sabonis at 37, but Tatum was playing almost, I think almost the entire fourth quarter, and they and he, you know, clearly Stevens kind of wanted to will them to this win, and through Tatum, who, you know, the best player on the court. You know, I think at times you could say Vic was better than him, but I think at the end of the day, Tatum was probably the best player on the court. You know, he's a top 15 player, if not higher, depending on how season look. He did not look great. You know, the Pacers did a nice job bottling him up in the first time they played, but this is what you expect, right? And this, you know, the Celtics made a couple of big adjustments that I liked. I'll talk about those in a second, that were just, you know, smart things you do when you've already seen a team once. The Pacers just, they just kind of didn't quite have the right lineup, I think, to be honest, start the fourth quarter, and then they kind of doomed the rest. I think I would have gone all bench and just seen, but McDermott didn't have a great night. He wasn't, you know, during the first three games has been really good. Tonight, he just didn't have a superb night. So, you know, chalk it up to early game aim woes, but this was a game that was winnable, unfortunately, and they did not win it. So we have to go with that, but I don't think it's like anything to fret over. They did a lot of good things and a lot of positive things going on for this team. I want to talk about that next. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We got football season coming to an end. The playoffs are almost starting. You got college football in the middle of its bowl season. You got the New Year's Six games. You got the college football semifinals. And you've got NBA games every day. And there's one place that you covered where you can place all your bets. That's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account, and you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus, right? So I'm looking at the Colts this weekend. They are a minus 14 favorite in Jacksonville. You know, I know the points are a lot. I think I would take it. You know, the Colts need this win, and they're probably going to really push it. But if you're getting really interesting, maybe you think the Colts will make the playoffs, I would make some kind of parlay bet where, you know, let's say you think Miami won't make the playoffs, and you want to bet some stack of, you know, Ravens win, Buffalo win, Colts win, Titans win, or maybe the Colts win the division. Maybe you really want to bet that. So you want to bet a Houston win and Colts win. You can parlay it together on betonline.ag right now. If you just become with Locked On, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. So just some notes from the game, right, just to go through kind of my, you know, good, bad, and ugly of the game. I know this isn't a Pacer thing. I will say I was very impressed with Peyton Pritchard. I know that might be weird or whatnot, but I, you know, as a small white guy, I will have to say that it is good to see. You know, he was a four-year player at Oregon, and he really, you know, he played well against the Pacers in that fourth quarter, and he played well on Sunday. You know, he had some moments. Pacers really tried to play him and whatnot, and tried to push him to see what he could do or not, but he came up pretty well, and I thought he made a couple of nice moves on the Pacers to kind of, you know, cut the lead in the fourth, and then he helped extend that lead in the late fourth. What I will say, though, about the Pacers, the one thing I did notice that they, you know, I don't mind matchup hunting, right? So Pritchard on the court, it was a lot about matchup hunting, right, for the Pacers especially. There were times where he was on, you know, in the last, like, 4 or 5 minutes. So the last 4 or 5 minutes, Boston went real small, right? So they went with a lineup where they had just one of Thompson or Tice out there, surrounded by Tatum, Smart, Brown, and Pritchard, right? And so at one time, they hunted it out where – no one missed it for a second, too, but they hunted it out and let Miles Turner kind of get him basically in the post, and he got fouled on that play. But there were a couple times they hunted him down, and I don't know, I understand hunting for matchups, but I think at the end of, you know, in a tight game where you really hadn't put up a shot, the Pacers at one point really couldn't figure out how to find a basket. I think you have to just try to, you know, run a play, right? Instead of trying to figure out the right guy to attack, just run your offense and try to make something work. Because you saw on the other end, right, Boston hunted for a couple of matchups. You know, they tried to get Sabonis really in the Brown thing, and honestly, Sabonis held his own really well. And that's you know, one of my good so far this season in this game, that Sabonis has become, to me, an adequate defender on the perimeter to a point where, like, they can play him and Turner together. Now, you know, tonight, I think the Pacers, Sabonis was a minus 15 and Turner ended up being a plus 6, so clearly the minutes together did not overlap that much, right? Sabonis got killed again in that fourth quarter. I mean, he came out there and the team just got smacked, and that was a huge problem. While Turner was pretty good with the bench unit for most of that fourth quarter. That third quarter. But what I found is if Sabonis can guard the perimeter and so can Turner, Turner, we already know, could, but if they can be better perimeter defenders, then there really is no reason they can't play together, right? So Boston went small, then went back to big, and the Pacers, you know, they went small, the Pacers cut the lead, right? And the Pacers didn't win this game, but they didn't lose the game because the Boston had a small lineup. They lost this game because they didn't execute the end of the game and because they blew a massive lead, right? So, you know, I was skeptical of it. I'm still kind of a wait and see, and let's see 10, 15, 20 games. But I'm feeling a little better about this Bonus Turner pairing, right? I mean, I feel like Turner tonight, especially, obviously hit 3 of 6 threes, hit his first three. He was, you know, I think this is best game. Well, not his best game, but best offensive game of the season, right? He's had some really good defensive nights. Tonight, he wasn't quite the defensive force he's been. Still had three blocks, but wasn't quite the way I thought, you know, especially against the Knicks, where he was just, like, swatting things away, and he was really a defensive force down there in a whole different way. But I do think offensively, Turner is, like, a different kind of engaged, right? Instead of being kind of stuck on the corner or not really running. Like, first of all, he's had 2 years of this, right? So it's not like this first year doing it. But he's kind of comfortable taking just 9 or 10 shots. And they're giving him some matchups, whatnot, and letting him make some other plays, right? And it to me, it just feels like there is a chemistry there that is built with time, right? And that's the thing, too. And then you throw Turner with the bench unit, right? In the fourth quarter, Bjorkman played a modified bench unit that was Turner at the five, Warren, Holiday McConnell, and that was a really good lineup, frankly. That you know, that seemed to work really well. Like I think the thing with the Pacers that in the past they didn't do is they were very rigid, right? And you know, I did complain a little bit about Warren playing too much in that fourth, and I get that, but it also worked at the end of the third, right? So Bjorkman has this style, it feels like, right now, where he is just kind of gonna play lineups as he feels, right? He's not necessarily like he wants to see different ones and maybe he'll finally pick, but he's not like set on a lineup. And it's different in the way that he's not like looking for certain positions, right? So like, for example, when McMillan was a coach, right, it always felt like he like couldn't play this guy with this guy, right? Like it was like he didn't want to play Turner with the bench, right? Or he didn't want to play, you know, Oladipo and Turner with the bench or something like, you know, or Brogdon and Turner with, like, there were different things he wouldn't do versus right now it seems like Bjorkman just kind of is like going to play whatever. The one thing I will say is that he clearly is trying to kind of manage load Vic's minutes. Tonight he played him a little more, but I think he thought close game, this is the time you ride your starter for 34 minutes, but he played Vic less than 30 the first three games. And so that's been interesting. And we have to talk about Vic. Well, we'll do Vic actually later. I'll do a whole thing on him. The other guy tonight that I think we can talk about is Warren, who, you know, for the first half of this game, Tony and I were joking by text that, like, basically the Pacers' offense was rolling, and they were just telling Warren, here, just stand over there and wait for the ball. And he looked really good offensively in that third quarter. And he just, to me, the one thing with him is he needs to take a little less long, too, still. He is still getting that habit. And the problem is when he hits them, it's like, oh, he should keep taking them. But he's not hitting in rhythm long, too, right? He's sort of, like, hunting for the shot. And when he got going is when they finally started kind of pushing it into the post to him, right? He ran a couple backdoor cuts, and they gave him a couple off the break, you know, defense into offense kind of plays where Vic, you know, hit him on a couple of nice passes, and that kind of got Warren pushed in that third quarter. Defensively, you know, he was put in a lot of tough matchups, right? He was either guarding Brown at times, or then he was forcing to Tatum, or if, you know what I mean? And those two guys are just a handful to handle, and especially when Tatum plays 4 minutes, which meant that Warren spent a lot of time on him when he didn't have Brogdon on the floor, and you know, he got switched on him a bunch. And so, you know, and then he was helping out on the back end. Kells did a nice job of sort of trying to pull Turner from the rim and trying to pull Bonus away from the rim and really trying to attack, and then Warren come and help, and that would get him foul trouble. So, you know, not his best defensive performance, but not like a bad one. I just, you know, you would like to see it be more like even-handed, where like he can put up 15 points in a quarter, but then still bring it in the fourth, and he just kind of didn't really have it. He looked kind of gassed to me, and I think part of that is no preseason for him. He's been hurt. You know, played 30 minutes. I just wonder if he's kind of getting up there. You know, they played, what, 4 games and 6 nights or whatever, right? So they started on Thursday, or sorry, right? No, they started Wednesday, right? So 4 games, and yeah, 4 games in about 6 nights. So maybe he's just getting a little gassed, and that's the thing that's going to be interesting this season, is what the Pacers start to do. Do they start to extend that bench a little bit? Because you have such a condensed schedule, right? I mean, it's a little bit, it's not as tight as you would think, right? It's not like I would, you know, last time they had a shortened season was 2012, and they played like 66 games in like 4 months. This is like a little bit more spread out, but it's still going to be harder on the players. And I wonder at some point if Bjorkman starts going to his deeper part of his bench, starts bringing in, you know, some Sumner, or maybe some Sampson at times or whatnot. But, you know, the one Pacer I didn't think was really great tonight, and I think is McDermott, who just really didn't have much, frankly. Like, he just didn't have like a nice production or anything. He didn't really do much. 1-of-4 for 2 points. Part of it wasn't played a ton. Only played 20 minutes. And you know, at the end of the day, the reason they lost this game, and I think I made that pretty clear, is the Celtics like pushed Tatum to like his max, right? They, you know, you don't see a starter like Tatum's quality usually play 40 minutes in a regular season game unless it's like an overtime game. and or it's like a really, really tight game and a big moment. You know, it's a, like an important game, and the Celtics felt the game was important, I think. I think they didn't want to slip to 1-3, didn't want to lose the season series to the Pacers this early on. So, you know, and it paid off, right? They played Tatum a lot, and it paid off, and they won. And I think Tatum also probably was kicking himself for missing that three-point shot to win the game on Monday, or on Sunday, I'm sorry. So I get why they did it. So overall, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway from this game, I said to just wrap it up in like a single sentence, is some bad execution at the end of the game. But overall, the Pacers team has looked really good through four games. They looked really good tonight just outside of a small stretch. And we'll have to see if this, you know, end-of-game turnover woes becomes a consistent thing or just an early-season issue to kind of overcome because they are kind of still adjusting to Bjorkman's offense. So, all right, I want to talk about Vic and how his early-season performance has increased the Pacers' ceiling. But first, another one of our sponsors on today's Locked On Pacers podcast is our wonderful friends over at Built Go. We've been talking about Built Go for the better part of 3 or 4 months now. Built Go is that 1.5 ounce gel packet that helps you get through your everyday and get going to break through that mental or physical wall. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, but it's natural, so it's better for your body. Drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine for better results. It comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It combines energy with collagen protein. It's fast absorbing into your system, and it's easy on your stomach. You know what I say? Before that workout, it's a great thing to take. You need a little kick of caffeine. I'm with that. You know, going on that run or going to lift those weights or whatever, going to play some basketball, whatever you need to do. This is a great way to give you that little jolt of energy, and it is good for you. And right now, visit BuiltGo.com. Use promo code LOCKED. That's LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off your next order at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Well, this has been a fun first 3 games for Joel Adipo. I think the way I would sum it up is he is 90% of his old self right now, right? I don't think he still doesn't have quite the same burst maybe he had 3 years ago, but he has all the finesse, all the twitch, all the passing, all the handle back. He did have a little fumble handle at the end of this game, but I think that was more nerves, right? We haven't seen a ton of turnovers from him in the first 4 games. I think tonight, let's look at my turnovers real fast. Tonight he had two turnovers, and one of those was that missed dribble, but at the end of the game. But yeah, he has looked really solid. I mean, 6 assists tonight, making a really nice pass to TJ Warren at one point on a turnover. You should go watch it. It was like an incredible play where he, you know, fights for the steal, I think over Brown, and then he flips it basically to Warren, who was already cutting towards the rim. He had a great spin move on Tristan Thompson, who, when he, you know, basically spun around him and kicked him and pushed himself off that, like, that left leg. I think that leg that he was hurt on, pushed off that leg and laid it off the glass. He's got his twitch and his finesse on his 3-point shot, where he can just kind of stop on a dime and pull up. I think his first 3 games are 22 points, 22 points, and 24 points. I think I have that correct. Let me look at it. Yep. He shot 60. Tonight's game isn't calculating the full stats yet, but he shot 64% in the first game, 66 against the Bulls on Saturday, and 55% tonight. He is shooting a decent 3-point shooting average, made 5-5 against the Bulls. Tonight he shot 33% from 3, I believe, going 2 of 6. He just looks really good. I mean, he still has room to get better. I'm definitely not here to say he's like fully 100% back. I said 90% back. But he's starting to look at the old Vic, and I was worried he couldn't. And if this Vic is the Vic they get, and so, you know, he played less than 30 minutes the first 2 games, 28 and 25. Then he played 34. So then keep his minutes down, try to keep him healthy, and he can play. You know, he'll end up playing probably 30 games his first, however long he has no major injury, because he's going to sit out back-to-backs, and they have 8 of them to start the season. In his first half, this first, you know, 38-game schedule they've released. But if he can look like this on most nights, the Pacers have a very, very good shot of competing for a top-4 seed. They're clearly as good as Boston, right? So I think that's fair. And, you know, I think a lot of people were, right, there's tiers in the East, right? It's like Milwaukee, the Nets are the top tier. And then if you work your way down, right, then it's a tier of like Miami, Toronto, Boston, Philly. And people say there's another tier, the Pacers. I think if Vic is at this level, he's in that next tier, and they can easily push for a 3 or 4 seed. And it's going to be close, right? It's not going to be like an easy thing. They're not here to say, oh, if Vic's back, Vic play like this, oh, guaranteed 3 or 4 seed. No, I mean, it's going to take some work, because there's good teams that have them in Miami, in Toronto, in Philly, and in Boston, like we saw tonight. But what I will say is I think they are closer to that tier or maybe even close to the top of that tier than I realized when the year started. He looks good. Bones is getting, looks like he made a little bit of improvement. The coaching is a little bit different in terms of like they're taking more efficient shots and they're, and that's the thing too, right? If they're just slightly better than last year, they're a top four seed again, right? And that's the thing too, is like, you know, as long as they, the coaching is the same, and if he, you know, and if he got, gets the shot taking a tweaked a little better and even just a little bit better, right? We're talking like a few, you know, efficiency points here or there. They go from all of a sudden being the four seed, I guess four or five last year, to being the three seed, right? I mean, that's, they were already a good team. They have good chemistry, and Vic seemed to fit in kind of seamlessly, right? To me, I was kind of, I got worried, right? So in that first half, for at least like the first quarter, Vic wasn't super in it, and then all of a sudden, second quarter, it's this huge burst, right? Then Warren not engaged in the first half, and he has this big third quarter, right? So it seems like there's an understanding in this team that, like, if you're not going in the first quarter, don't worry about it. First half, don't worry about it. We'll get you going eventually. The one thing I like to see with Vic a little more is in that end of fourth quarter, they didn't seem to really engage him that much. I don't know if he was, you know, a little bit tired or not. It's the most minutes he's played this season, or, you know, if the team was kind of down by too much, but it seemed like it was a little bit like, let's try to keep our normal flow with Brogdon and Sabonis, and I would have maybe, eventually went to him, right? But took him a minute or two to kind of decide to just put the ball in Vic's hands. I think that's what they probably should start to do in the fourth quarters, because at the end of the day, like, while Vic may not be the highest scorer on this team, he might not even be the best player from first to fourth quarter for this team. I think for the last 6 minutes of a fourth quarter, he is the guy, and I think if I'm Bjorkgren too, I'm looking at his minutes trying to save him for those moments, right? Now, obviously, that third quarter, they had such a good run. I'm not sure they could take anybody out because they were just rolling. But to me, the thing about Vic is you want to be able to manage his minutes in the first three quarters so that he can play 8, 9, 10 minutes in that fourth quarter, because he is the guy when it comes to these big moments, especially when it looks like this, can score and can put up a ton. And maybe they don't want to tax him like that. I get that, maybe. But, you know, I think that's the player he wants to be, right? Vic wants to be the closeout guy, the closing, the end of the game guy, right? That's what he... At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you start, how many stats you put up. If you have great clutch stats, that's what people will remember, right? Hit a big three there, hit a big, you know, he's done that before, right? So, in terms of like the ceiling changing though, if he's this good, like I said, it does make this team go to a whole other level, right? They're no longer sort of this middling team that we don't quite know where they're gonna go. They all of a sudden become a really competitive team, and it becomes a really good question of like, how far can this team go if Vic continues to get back, right? Let's say what we see today is not the finished product by, when's the playoffs, May or June this year, right? Let's say by May or June is even better, right? And you add in some of the other stuff. Is this, you know, is there a point where this team is like the three seed and competing for an Eastern Conference final spot? I don't know. I mean, that's what we'll have to see. But I do like the way this is going. I'm going to be a little cautious and say, one, we're four games in. Don't want to get too drunk on four games. Two, injuries always seem to ruin this team at the wrong moment, so we'll see if they can stay healthy. And that's why I say the minutes wise is you know, while I would like to see Vic play more in the fourth tonight, I kind of get it. You're not trying to push him a ton of minutes, right? You want to keep him under 35 at max. I would keep him under 30 if possible, but like, you don't want to definitely play more than 35 unless you're playing an overtime game, because you need to manage him, you need to manage Brogdon, because those guys have a lot of health issues, and you got to make sure they're there for the full season, right? I think it's worth losing a game in December if you can keep Vic healthy. You have him play 30 of the first 38 games and get him to, you know, a 60-game mark this season, or maybe a little less. So somewhere in that range, right? It's definitely worth it to lose tonight to the Celtics. So I saved that little bit of pullback on the optimism, or on the, like, crazy optimistic drunk first four games for the end, because, you know, you don't need to hear it unless you're hanging around. And if you're hanging around, you should follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers on Twitter. You can follow me at FreeMadam5 on Twitter and Tony at TeastNBA. If you're new to this podcast, hope you're still around, hanging around. So what we do is Tony and I do a weekly podcast, usually every Monday, sometimes on a Tuesday, depending on what happens, and an occasional Thursday one, if there's a long week or whatever, breaking down the full week of games coming up and the 1 week behind. And then during the week, I will break down the games and Tony will preview each of the games, and that's how we'll get going forward. We'll have a new podcast for you tomorrow, previewing the Cavalier game. We will not have a podcast on Friday. It's New Year's Day. We're taking that day off, but we'll be back on Monday with our usual weekly show. Look forward to that. Thank you for listening to this Locked On Pacers podcast, and we will see you guys again tomorrow.